We know the city, and we don't know the city. Its history has a way of hiding from us, of disappearing under the dust of time, or forgotten in the rapid pace of our lives. So one recent afternoon, I asked 10 born and raised Chicagoans if they could identify the street name and who the person was of the street they were just about to cross. A few of them, even as they looked up at the street sign, said in what's become a kind of common Chicago mispronunciation, Balboa. Well, it is Balbo, named for an Italian air minister, General Italo Balbo, who in 1933 led a flock of 24 seaplanes here for the Century of Progress Exposition. A lot of anti-fascist groups protested the idea of naming a street for this guy, but their cries did not stop 7th Street from becoming, for good and for keeps, Balbo Drive. It begins or ends, depending on your point of view, at Grant Park, named, of course, at the turn of the century for the Civil War general and U.S. President Ulysses S. In this area of Grant Park along Michigan Avenue, there stands an incredibly impressive statue, I hope you look at it, of a man named John Alexander Logan. He was a Civil War general who later represented Illinois in Congress, and his name, of course, also labels a boulevard, a plaza, and an entire neighborhood, Logan Square. It's impossible for many Chicagoans to look at that statue and not be swept back to that night in August 1968 and the events that took place there and then. That was a month that the Democrats came to town. For the first time since 1956, Chicago was chosen as the site of the Democratic National Convention. Richard J. Daley, then the mayor, said an important sign of faith to the American people for this national convention to be held here, not in some resort center, but in the very heart of a great city where people live and work and raise their families. His enthusiasm and pride, however, were shadowed by worry. He was worried, but he was not, as one might think, given the way things turned out, worried about war presters and long-haired agitators who were expected to come to town. Daley knew that their principal weapons were only words. So it's easy for us, all of us, to forget that the people Daley feared the most were blacks. His paranoia fueled by the riots earlier in the year that devastated portions of the West Side after the April assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So Daley decided, and the police acted, and they would pressure black militants and gang members. They'd arrest some and hassle others and get across his behave or else message. But Daley's political savvy dictated a less aggressive maneuver, and on August 1, 1968, the city council met to placate the black community by renaming a street in honor of Dr. King. Now, many descriptions of this city council meetings have been written. None better captured it than Mike Royko, coming up soon to talk about softball. He captured it in his biography of Daley called Boss. This is what he wrote. The meeting was remarkable, with one administration alderman after another eulogizing King as a great man, forgetting that they had assailed him when he was alive. Daley himself described his relationship with King as one of great friendship and mutual understanding, claiming that King had told him what a fine job he was doing for the city's blacks. The heights to which Daley and the aldermen rose in praising King moved one observer to write, "It was enough to bring tears to your eyes if you happened to be a crocodile." So the street selected, here's a bit of history for you, for the name change was South Park Boulevard, which ran through predominantly black sections of the South Side. There were suggestions, Royko wrote, that the street chosen should be one that cut through the whole city, maybe Western Avenue. But Daley wouldn't hear that. He knew, and he was right, that in white neighborhoods, street signs would be defaced or destroyed. So South Park Way became Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, and a few weeks later, the Democrats came to town. And what most remember is what happened on August 28th. It was a Wednesday when protesters and police clashed in Grant Park. The skirmishes between these groups on previous convention nights in Lincoln Park may not have been as bloody, but they did not have the dubious distinction of television cameras present to record the action. This time, the whole world was watching. I don't know if you were around then, but it lasted only 20 minutes. 101 demonstrators were hospitalized and 192 police officers reported injuries. A national commission headed by future Governor Dan Walker, later in jail, later deemed the melee a police riot. But Daley was unscathed. This was because, as Royko put it in Boss, quote, in attacking the young, the liberal, and the black, Daley was in the mainstream of America's mass prejudices. Daley came out of the convention even more popular than before, because bust their heads was the mood of the land, and Daley had swung the biggest club. For a time, the August 28th confrontation was called the Battle of Balbo, but soon was most commonly referred to as the Battle of Chicago. Balbo, of course, being too obscure a name for permanence. These days, Grant Park is a peaceful place, its most disruptive moments taking place when ravenous mobs descend on it for a taste of Chicago. These days, people lounge at the base of General Logan's statue. Little kids try to climb the horse's legs as they would metal trees. Think back, in 1968, protesters tried to climb the Logan statue when they were peeled from it by the police. In the heat of that night, ironies in history escaped the demonstrators. There they were, trying to stop a war in Vietnam, while trying to scale the statue of a man who, 100 years before, had come up with an idea for remembering men who died in war. His idea was Memorial Day. But maybe you already knew that.